Hey family.
Welcome to the Janae That's Good podcast.
It's Janae.
And Janae.
And today
we are talking Save Now What Part 4.
But first, let's pray. Eternal and all-wise Father, first and foremost, we just want to say thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your love and kindness. Now, God, before we ask anything of you, if there's anybody that we need to forgive, any type of grudges, anything that we're holding on to, by obedience and by faith, we release them, dear Heavenly Father, and we forgive them, God. For we know that if we do not forgive others, we will not be forgiven. So we forgive anyone who has harmed us, hurt us, or offended us. Now, God, we want to repent for any sins that we've committed by thought, word, or deed, and we receive your forgiveness, God, that only you can give by your blood. And God, we just thank you. Thank you for just being an awesome God. Thank you for just loving us even when we don't know how to love ourselves. Now, God, we ask that you touch all the listeners. God, allow you to get the glory in all of this, Lord. Allow us, to Heavenly Father, to speak what you say. Lord, allow us most importantly to live out what you say. And allow the listeners, Heavenly Father, even the non-believers, the newcomers, or even the people who've been here since day one, God, allow all of us to receive what it is that you are saying, God. Allow them to only hear you, Lord, and allow us to allow you to transform us into the women or men of God that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is water baptism necessary? Go with me to Matthew 3:13-15. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." If we want to be like God and we aim to be like Christ, he got baptized. So why aren't we following in his footsteps and getting baptized as well? Not only did he get baptized, but he baptized others. In John 3:26, they came to John and they said, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him." So not only did Jesus get baptized, but he baptized others. Now, not only did he baptize others, but he commanded that people be baptized in his name.
Right.
And that scripture is... And that scripture is Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So, should we be getting baptized? Is water baptism necessary? Yes. I think Jesus getting baptized is like, I'm telling you to do these things and I'm able to do the same. It's like when we teach our children, right? If I'm saying, "Hey, don't cuss. Cussing's not good." But yet he sees me cussing. How can he not cuss if he sees that I'm cussing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then he's like, then that's when children start to do things behind your back, because it's like, well, my parents are doing it and this is the example that I have. So I'm following in that footstep.
Right.
So for God, it's like, hey, I am holy. So I'm asking you to be holy as well. I am that example for you. So I'm asking you to do the same thing. I'm not asking you of something that I'm not doing.
Right.
So I think that just like the children's desire to want to be like, you know, their parents, or when they look up to somebody, right? We should feel the same way as it pertains to Christ.
Right.
Like, I want to be like you. I look up to you, you know? So if that's something that you did, then I want to do that too. Especially, like I said, if our goal is to be like Christ. So in Matthew 28:19, again, not only did Jesus get baptized, but he baptized others. He gives the order to the disciples to make more disciples and to baptize them according to scripture, right? We should be baptized in water. And in Acts 10:44-47, I think that this command gets tested because the people that were there, they received the Holy Spirit first. So normally the order was they got baptized, then they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, but they were seeing something out of the ordinary. The Holy Spirit was falling upon them first, and then the test was coming. This, I believe it was a test. It doesn't say that it was, but I believe that it was a test to see if they would listen to the command of God. And although that they were, you know, baptized by the Holy Spirit, Peter still commanded that they be baptized with water in the name of the Lord. He said, is there any water, you know, is there any water that can be spared? I mean, it's not those same words, but go read it for yourselves. Acts 10, 44 through 47. He asked, where is the water so that they may be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So do we still follow the instructions? Do we still follow God's commands even when they kind of come out of order?
Yeah. That's,
you know, it. Like, will we still be like, because he could have looked at the situation and been like, oh, well, they have the Holy Spirit, so it's no need for the water, right? But in 1 John 5, now this one I will read. In 1 John 5, 6 through 12, it says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Mm. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So you need to be baptized by water because you need the water to bear witness for you. And if the water, the blood, and the Spirit is one, you don't want to take out the water portion, because then you're missing something. It's not, you know, all together, if that makes sense.
Right. If you go to John 3:5, it says, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Mm. So basically, here's the thing, right? Baptism is a physical representation of what has transpired when we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts. Can you be saved without the physical representation of a baptism? Yes. Baptism is just, like I said, that physical representation of what is transpiring and what has already happened inward from when you receive Christ and accepted him sincerely as your Lord and Savior, right? Mm-hmm. Baptism is not for babies, and it is not for people who have not accepted Jesus Christ in their heart.
Yeah, because I think that, and here's the thing, because, and I believe that too, because I'm like, you should be able to confess out of your mouth. You should be able to, you know, understand what Jesus has actually done, because it says they believed, they received, and then they got baptized, right?
Right.
Like, they have to hear the word and believe it, and then, you know, say, you know what, here's my act of faith, I'm getting baptized by water, and then the Holy Spirit falls upon them, because the Holy Spirit can read your heart.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit knows if you believe or not.
Right. And my thing is, just look at it like this, right? There's a process to this, right? And a lot of times people want to skip the process, right? The first step is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, realizing that the only way to the Father is through the Son, and you're accepting him, right? Mm-hmm. Then it's like, okay, now I'm starting to go through the transformation of, you know, he's working sin out in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to know him by reading my word.
Right.
Right. Because he is his word. Mm-hmm. And then I want to have the physical representation of what is taking place within and what took place when I accepted Christ. Babies have no understanding of that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said it's not for babies.
No, they can be dedicated.
Absolutely.
You know, like Samuel was dedicated to God.
Absolutely. A non-believer dipping in the water would literally, it's insignificant. It has no meaning.
Yeah.
So it would just be you getting wet and then you going back out in the world and then doing whatever you want to do type of
now,
thing.
Now,
right?
I hear some saying like, but can you have the Holy Spirit without getting baptized? Yes, because we just read in Acts that you can have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can fall upon you, but it's still necessary for the water baptism because it's a command.
Right.
It's a command. Why not get, you know, and the water bears witness for you.
And then can we just say this? And like literally a lot of times, I'm not going to hold you. And I think the enemy uses this. The enemy uses overcomplicating things, confusion, division, and stuff like that within the body of Christ to not only confuse and deceive the non-believers and the people who are trying to come to Christ, but also deceive the so-called believers or the people who are in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because we spend so much time debating and fighting on things that are frivolous and that don't matter, that we're actually causing more confusion for ourselves and others. Right. It's as simple as this. If Jesus got baptized, right?
Yes.
And then, like you said, in Matthew 28:19, he says, go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And he got baptized. He baptized others. And he commanded that his disciples do the same. So, all three of it. He did all of it.
Right,
like
right.
He was like the pure example of get baptized because I baptized, I got baptized, and I'm telling y'all to do it too.
Right.
So, why
are we making it? I believe that it's just,
it's a distraction.
It's a distraction. Let's focus on something that really is.
It's simple.
Like,
it's
if Jesus did it and we're supposed to be like him and we're made in his image, do it.
And if
get
he
baptized.
Commanded you to do it. Again,
absolutely.
Those who love me keep my commands. Yes. So do you really love Jesus if you over here trying to have an argument about whether or not you should get baptized?
I just don't understand why you would spend so much time arguing about it. Either do it or don't do it. But my thing is, if he's telling me to be like Christ, I'm going to do the very best to be that representation of what Christ looks like. And that's a whole purifying purification process in itself. So, yes.
Okay, so how do I live for Christ daily in a world that doesn't follow him?
The first step is realizing that you cannot put yourself up against the world because we're set apart. Mm-hmm. When you come into Christ, you are now operating under kingdom principles, under godly principles. And when we live in a world that is trying to create confusion and take God, Jesus Christ, out of everything. So with that being said, you have to accept. The first thing I would say is acceptance. You have to accept the fact that you are set apart. In Psalms 4:3, it says, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. So that is just right there, just telling you. That's just one scripture that's telling you, hey, there has to be a distinction between the world and God, God's people, should I say. So that's the first step. I would say the first step is acceptance, accepting, hey, I'm not like the world. I'm not going to fit in the world. And then now let me look at scriptures in the Bible to help encourage me through these tough times. You have so many scriptures where the disciples are writing about being persecuted for doing what's right, being persecuted for following Christ. Pick up your cross and follow me. Like that cross was bearing all of the sins, bearing all of the iniquity. That the thing about it is you have to understand that if you are saying yes to God, you are saying no to the enemy, which is no to the world and everything that the world stands for, worldly principles, worldly theology, all of that. So I would say community is very important for this. Having godly accountability, having people around you who are operating in godly wisdom, having people around you who are constantly living a life of repentance, because at any given moment, anybody can be compromised because we're human, right? So you need to make sure that you are not only allowing God to surround you with godly people who will hold you accountable, but also people who know, who read their word and apply their word, application. Community is important, having a godly community. also killing comparison. Once again, you cannot put yourself up against the world because the world is fallen. We have to literally have a relationship with Christ, and God is his word. So in order to get encouragement, in order to know what is, to be able to test what is right, what is good, all these different things, you just have to know God. And in order to know him, you have to read his word. Mm-hmm. So as far as how do we live or choose Christ daily, you have to choose to grow deeper in Christ daily, which means mm-hmm. reading your word. You have to read your word. There's no way around it. You have to read your word, because that is going to equip you with the fuel that you need and the power, everything you need to be able to deal with the pushback of the world because you're following Christ. And the more you lean into Christ, the less you care about being accepted by the world. The more you lean into Christ, you realize that you are actually accepted by the only person who truly mattered, which is Jesus Christ. And that longing or that sadness of not having the world, you'll realize that it's not what you want anyway. And it was never good for you. Well, it was good back then until man messed it up. But you get what I'm saying. Letting go of idolatry, anything you put before your obedience to Christ. That goes for your feelings. That goes for your emotions, your opinions, anything that you put before him. And to be honest with you, it is a daily choice. It's a daily choice mm-hmm. to choose Christ. Every day you wake up and you have to choose Christ. Just like if a person is married, because when you get saved, you become married to God. But mm-hmm. when you are like married husband and wife, you have to choose to mm-hmm. love your partner. You have to choose to be faithful to your partner. Yeah. You have to choose to be patient with your partner. You have to choose these things.
Yeah, it's a lot of realities that we have to come to understand. Like, for one, the road is narrow. For two, the persecution.
Yeah.
The world not going to like you because they didn't like God. They didn't like Jesus when he was here.
Yeah.
So those are some realities that I think that has to settle in. And again, like you said, for one, we have to come to understand that we're set apart. We're different. We have been called out of darkness into his glorious light. In Jeremiah 1:5, he sanctified Jeremiah in his mother's womb. He set him apart. He already ordained him in the womb. So we are a chosen people. We have to come to understand that sanctified means to be set apart, to keep oneself apart or separate, to dedicate or devote. And devote means to give all of or a large part of your time or resources to a person or a cause. We have to understand that our goal here with us being chosen is to focus on giving our all to God. We shouldn't be focused on the world. We shouldn't be focused on what they're doing and, oh, how do I do this? And the world is doing that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because Peter, literally, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, what did he do? He started sinking in the water. We have to focus ourselves on him. It's very imperative, because the moment that we don't, we start to fall back and be drawn back by the winds and the waves and of this world that is meant to kill, steal, and destroy from us. So
that's good. I agree with everything that you're saying. And it's just also understanding too that You have to fully immerse yourself in the word of God and your relationship with him. Like you said, devote. You have to let go of everything that was old and everything that was of culture and different things like that. You have to let go of all of that and just truly immerse yourself in God.
So 1 Peter 1:16 also encourages us to be holy as the Lord is holy. So not only that, but we have to make sure that we are following God and not the world or after people who aren't following him. In Matthew 16:24-27, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's not easy, but our reward in heaven is great. It is not easy to pick up a cross, especially being battered and bruised and hurt in the persecution, the pain that, you know, he promises that. So it's like, it's not easy, but in 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Who do you have in your circle? Are you around like-minded people? You guys can read 1 Corinthians 15:33 and Philippians 2:2. But who do you have in your circle is very imperative, because the Lord says that, what do y'all have in common? What do y'all have? You should not be unequally yoked together with them. You should not be in communion with them. Because what is that? What do they have to do with one another? It's altar versus altar. It is a war between the kingdom of hell and the kingdom of God. So although we're called out of the world, the only thing that we owe people, owe unbelievers, is Christ, is the gospel. We owe everyone Jesus Christ. We owe everyone the good news, as it is written in Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the only thing we owe them. You don't owe communion. You don't owe hanging out with them. You don't owe those things. And I think that people drag that, oh, Jesus hung with sinners. He hung around sinners. He sat and ate with sinners. He was preaching himself, that he was calling sinners to repentance. Those sinners did not stay the same, and he did not stay there.
I think that's a good point, because a lot of people do have that misconception, right? Like, where it's like, well, Jesus, like you said, Jesus hung with sinners. But the thing was, he wasn't sitting around and just allowing them to sin and then him just being there, his presence being there. Like you said, he was calling them to repentance. He was preaching the good news. He was teaching these people about coming to him. Because here's the thing, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character, corrupts good morals. If you are sitting there, best believe if you're sitting around unevenly yoked people, it is doing something to your spirit. Even if you don't feel like you're engaging in the same sins that the people that you are around are engaging in, you are just as bad for sitting there and entertaining Jezebel or entertaining, idolatry or whatever it may be. I will say this from personal experience. And just because it's my personal experience doesn't mean that everything that I go through or experience, someone else will. However, if it is biblical too, that lets you know it is a direct result of what you are doing, right? Mm-hmm. So prime example, if it says, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals or good character, right? Prime example, if you are sitting in a friend group and one of your friends, I'm not talking about making, like, sinning and then going into repentance. I'm talking about you are actually actively living in sin, right? So you have a friend, say you have a friend who's fornicating, and you are not fornicating. You being associated with that person, the hell and the spiritual attacks that that person experienced, you may start experiencing some stuff and not understand why you're experiencing it. And it's because of who you're connected to. Mm-hmm. How do we know this? The disciples had to go through being rejected and persecuted and all type of things because of who they were connected to, because of Jesus, right? Yeah. So my thing is, who you are connected to, it matters. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not smoking weed and rolling up that J with that person, you sitting there watching somebody
and put poison,
putting poison in their body, knowing that that is using drugs and alcohol and different things like that, is a way to illegally open up the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. right? You're open to demonic persuasion, right? And different things of that nature. You sitting there is just as bad as you doing
coming
it with
to
them.
Agreement with them.
Because that's what you're doing. Your presence is coming into agreement yep. with the sin. Or your presence is coming into agreement with the demonic activity that's going on. So, true story. You could have a friend group that fights all the time, right? You could be the one who doesn't fight. You go out in public and somebody that your friend group is beefing with, right? Or I'm using it as an example. They see you and they're like, oh, that's that girl or that's that boy mm-hmm. that be with yeah. such and uh-huh. such. So
and we have physical examples
right.
of this.
So yes. let's get him. Let's get her uh-huh. because we can't get to yeah. the other people.
Literally, it says in 2 John 1 that for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So here's my thing, because if we even dive deeper into the Jesus hung around sinners, he was teaching them. He was teaching them. He wasn't sitting around there coming into agreement with what they were doing. He did not speak up about what was going on around and how to correctly shift them from where they were to a repentive state into walking in God. So they did not stay the same. So that it wasn't a, oh, I'm condoning of this. Oh, I love you. I'm going to love you and love you in your mess and let you be like this and stay like this because I understand you. No. He required change from them. He required repentance from them. But how could they know if they were not taught? How could the word be heard if it was not spoken?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So, of course, you have to be around sinners to preach the word of God.
Loving you is not enabling you to do your sin.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people misinterpret that. Mm-hmm. Like, loving
yep.
you
yep.
does
good.
Not mean that I have to sit around or I'm supposed to sit around and
mm-hmm. tolerate,
encourage your sin,
and agree. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no,
that's
you
not
have
what that
to
means.
Speak up. And if you speaking up causes friction, let me tell you something. Matthew 10:14, which tells us to, if they do not receive you, to dust your feet.
If you think that you're going to just repent one time and it's just like, okay, I'm good, I don't have to repent anymore, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God has called us to a life of fasting, praying, and repentance.
Janae, that's good.
Yeah, I agree.
Let us know what stood out to you from the episode by writing a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yep, you heard right.
We're excited to announce that we're on Apple Podcasts, y'all. I feel like one of the big girls.
Not only can you write a review, but subscribe to be notified when we post every Friday.
While you're waiting for the next drop, you already know we have a challenge for you.
First, if you haven't gotten baptized, be honest about what's stopping you. Let Jesus minister to you through his word.
Second, if you haven't already, take the time to evaluate your community and who you're connected to.
And listen, I know it may not be easy, but start the separation process from things and people that are not of God.
But before you go, share the gospel, share Christ with someone, and understand that you're set apart.
So act like it.